Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber plans driverless taxis on the roads of San Francisco sometime next year. Hey, look out for the cat under the car. And is Las Vegas in a Trump slump or not? Those stories more and more next in the travel news.
Ever wonder what polite things passengers do that flight attendants wish you wouldn't do? Wait, how could being nice be a bad thing? We have the list in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20.
The federal government shutdown has entered its second month. Air traffic controllers and TSA inspectors are not being paid, but are expected to work anyway. How long can this continue? What can you do as a traveler? I have a couple of ideas, and we'll put them on the table at 11:35.
One of the most popular features on the Travel Guys is the mailbag, and at 11:45, we'll answer your questions on a wide variety of travel topics and make you smarter, more informed traveler when you hit the road.
Welcome to the travel show that is different from all the rest. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man. Get your kicks.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our special engineer for today is Kyle Ledbetter. He's the producer for the midday show here on KHTK. So we've got some of the best working with us today. Kyle, thanks for being with us today.
You're more than welcome, guys. Happy to be here.
Well, okay, Mark, here we are. It's a new week. Some things have changed. Some things have not. I want to just ask you before we get started, because a lot of people are kind of, you might say, keyed into this. Do you think the government shutdown at this point is going to be affecting travel more or less as we move forward?
More. Our good friends at TSA in here in Sacramento, who have been regular guests on this program for a long time, and we called them this week to kind of get a rundown of what was going on, and they regretfully told us that their bosses have said no media interviews while the shutdown is going on, because a lot of things could get said that could cover a wide range of things. So I understand that completely, and I get it. But we are still going to address the issue ourselves, because there are a couple of things that you can do to help this situation out, hopefully to keep these folks to keep working for us. Because if the TSA people don't show up for work in the morning, or any reasonable percentage of them, chaos will ensue. So it's not a good thing. So it's really and truly, it's we need to move off the dime here. No matter which team you play for, if politically, we've got to figure out a way to get the government back open, because as I'm sure you read, it's starting to impact a tremendous number of people. Anyway, we'll get to that. At 11:35, we're going to talk a little bit about that whole situation.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the travel news, as always, once again, here's Mark Hoffman. Mark?
Well, as we mentioned in the headlines, Uber plans to join Waymo with their autonomous taxi rides. A little bit different in the way you pronounce that there. Taxi rides in San Francisco starting sometime next year. An interesting thing happened this week. Elon Musk was in San Francisco to do a press event to talk about this. And there had been a circumstance that had occurred the day before. A very beloved cat for one of the small grocery stores in downtown San Francisco had gotten run over by a Waymo car.
Oh, no.
And this came up at Trump's press thing. Well, what happened was apparently the car stopped to pick somebody up, and the cat darted under the car. And as Musk was explaining, he said, really and truly, autonomous cars are going to be very good for animals, because it will save a lot of them, because the car will detect the animal running in front of it whereas a regular driver might not detect it in time, whereas the autonomous vehicle will detect it. So I'm kind of like, okay, well, that's a good thing. It didn't help this particular cat, though. It succumbed to its injuries, and so Musk was asked about that, and he said, well, actually, hopefully, this will be a good thing for cars. If it's a good, I mean, for animals. If it's a good thing for animals, I'm guessing that people darting in front of it won't be an issue either. So that's good news for all living creatures. But anyway, Waymo is going to be joined by Uber in San Francisco with autonomous cars sometime in the next. Mr. Musk indicated he hoped that it would happen in the first half of next year. People in Las Vegas, the guys in the big suits up in the towers are arguing with each other about whether or not there is a Trump slump. This is not my words. These are their words going on in Las Vegas right now. Arrivals are down over in double digits, and it's getting worse, and people are starting to get nervous. And it turns out when you dig down into the numbers that the lack of arrivals is not domestic arrivals. They're off just like a percent and a half, but it's international arrivals that are off 15% to 20%. And so Las Vegas is a huge destination for Canadians, a huge destination for Canadians. And, of course, we know that a third of them are not flying across the border, and a larger number than that are not driving. I'm guessing most Canadians that come to Las Vegas would be flying. And so that's – we're sending this message to the rest of the planet that, you know, if you're thinking of coming here or somewhere else, this might be the year for the somewhere else. So this impacts not only the destination itself, but all the people who work there. So it's whether or not the president is causing this or whether the economy is causing this, which might have some reflection on the president. I'm not here to tell you, but the people in Las Vegas are starting to get very nervous about it because now the number of visitors year over year is off more than 10%. And they're not making as much money as they used to. So if you go to Las Vegas, please spend more money and try to lose a little bit more because the casinos are really hurting. If you could just lose 10 or 15% more.
You know, I have to say, I love to go to Vegas. I'm there at least twice a year. And it's all I can tell you is that less is more, as far as I'm concerned. I think even when it supposedly is slow, there are still too many people. And they have too many events, big events, whether it's a big giant rodeo or they're having a Monte Carlo, the Formula One races in downtown. It can be nuts. So I'm okay with a little bit of a slack off there. I'll lose a little more on behalf of those that didn't show up.
There you go. That's the important thing is you're all a team. All your gamblers are a team. And so if some people can't be there, you've got to pitch in and help out for them. And Amen. The other thing is don't if you happen to win money. Please don't take it home with you. Please stop and take the time to put it back into machines or table games or something, because that would just be at this point in time, people winning money in Las Vegas and taking it home with them is only going to make the situation worse.
There you go. And if you flew in, you can always stop and leave it at the airport, which is absolutely the worst place on the planet to gamble unless you're on a cruise ship.
I forgot about that. You know, you may have forgot about this too, but years and years ago when this program first started, we're getting close to two decades now, we had a story about the kind of a scandal about the slot machines at the Las Vegas airport. Like this has been at least 15 years ago. But they found that, of course, slot machines are set for payouts. So, you know, they're set for 92%, 95%, 98%, whatever it is. The larger the denomination, the more money you're putting in, the better the payout. So it was found that the airport slot machines were set at lower payouts. And when asked about that, somebody off the record said, well, these people are leaving town anyway. So there's no reason for them to have to go away winners. They can just – I will never forget that. Of course, it was an anonymous comment. But never play – the word of warning there is never play slot machines at an airport because they know that you're leaving soon, and whether or not you win or lose is not as important as it would be if you were sitting in a club downtown. So anyway, thanks for bringing that back up. Airports, air traffic controllers, we're going to talk a little bit more about this about TSA at the bottom of the hour, but the U.S. airports and their lobbying group are calling for the shutdown to end. They say it's starting to impact travel. You think? For the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've gotten to the point where now if too many air traffic controllers call in sick at a particular airport, it causes some real serious problems. And that is continuing to happen. And the challenge with that is that you don't know where it's going to pop up. I will say it's happened at LAX 3 times, which is more than it's happened anywhere else so far. But obviously we're at a point where with normal wear and tear and normal sick leave and vacation time and stuff like that, that we're getting into kind of a tough area. Speaking of which, TSA, this headline says Delta demands government shutdown end as Delta One TSA lines close at some airports for their very top tier travelers. I'm not quite on that level, but for their very top tier travelers, Delta One, they have private security lines and private entrance lines so that you can get in quicker. It's kind of a line cut for their very best customers. Those lines are shutting down because they need those people to go into the general lines. So this would be your first sign that things are starting to crack a little bit around the edges, that Delta is saying, all right, we're going to cut down the special security lines because we need everybody now in the main game. Apple is making it easier than ever for airlines to track down your lost luggage. They announced this week that a European carrier has gotten on board. This is the deal, folks. Lost luggage is like a thing of the past. Get an Apple AirTag or there's other brands of AirTags. Put them in your bags. The Apple ones are the ones that the airlines are tapping into right now. I don't know if they can tap into the other ones yet or not. There's not too much of a difference in the cost, so maybe grab an Apple one, put it in your bag. The airline can find your bag with that tag if you allow them to do that. There is now the technology so that they can find your bag. So it's no more of this, well, we think it's probably on this flight or it's in this airport and we'll find it in the next couple of days. They can find it right away. So one of the best things a smarter traveler could do right now, get yourself Apple AirTags. Also put one in your carry-on bag. You go into the restroom, you set the bag down, you leave the restroom. Uh-oh, where did I leave my bag? Was it at the concession area or was it in the rest? Now you can find your bag. So this is probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to travelers. Get Apple AirTags.
In fact, if you travel with small children or even big children,
yes,
get an Apple AirTag and put it on them. I heard some people talking about, you know, leading up to Halloween. Happy Halloween a day late, by the way. And they were suggesting that they're asking people, say, well, my kids want to go out, and young teens or whatever kids that you might trust to go out with a couple of friends and trick or treat in the neighborhood.
Right.
And they say, put an AirTag on your kid. And she says, absolutely, I'm putting an AirTag on it. They know they've got it. I'll know where they are. Everybody will be fine. So I can see that if you're traveling with children, you get separated for a short period of time.
Sure.
It wouldn't hurt to be able to track them.
The advantage of that is that if you know where the child is, you don't necessarily have to go there.
I was waiting for that, Mark. Okay.
All right. And here's another little piece of Apple news. Apple says U.S. passport feature on iPhone is coming soon. You will soon be able to load and add a digital version of your U.S. passport to your phone, according to the vice president of Apple Pay and Apple Wallet. That is coming very soon. Later this year, Apple says, so you'll be able to use your phone as your passport. For people like Mark, who tend to lose their passports, this would be a good thing.
No.
Just saying. Listen, we are the travel and entertainment guys, so let me throw in a couple of things here from Broadway, an update. This is kind of cool. This is a sequel to Cats, the musical, arguably mm-hmm. one of the most popular and beloved musicals of all time. It's called Cats, the Jellicle Ball. If you're familiar at all with the story, all the cats gather for this annual gathering called the Jellicle Ball. So now the sequel is going to talk about this. It's coming to New York City next year. The performances start July the 18th at the Broadhurst Theater in New York City. So it will be interesting to see how that does. Sometimes sequels are terrific and sometimes they're closed in 3 weeks. So we'll just have to see. A couple of of former employees of national parks have come out in the media this week suggesting that it would be a good idea to shut more of the parks down. They are saying that a lot of damage is occurring around the edges because there is not ranger supervision. We know, of course, that people in Yosemite are climbing mountains and jumping off of mountains and things that they wouldn't be able to do if there were rangers around. Good luck to those people. But to if you're visiting a national park now, you know, be extra careful. Yosemite, the restrooms are open. The concessions are open because those are run by private people and not by the Park Service. But there's no visitor center and there's no ranger to ask a question and there's no one to go out on the trail and, you know, make sure that it was safe this morning, that something didn't happen overnight. So just be careful. If you're going to Hawaii, we mentioned this previously, volunteers are keeping Pearl Harbor open. So the somebody told me last week the shuttle to go out to the memorial was running, and then the next day somebody told me it wasn't. So you might want to do your homework and check on that. The vice president says that Thanksgiving travel could be a disaster if the shutdown barrels on. All I would say to that would be duh. But also, when planes are already 90% full, how much fuller can the airport get? You know, how much more crowded, how much longer can the lines be? And the answer is not much longer. But really and truly, for these holiday periods, you get a lot of people who don't travel very often. And they tend to be the people who slow the system down. The guy with the family with the three kids, and the kids have never flown before, and now they get to TSA, and it takes them 2 or 3 minutes to clear a line, and the line backs up worse than it already is. So holiday periods, if you're going to travel, just realize that they're going to be perhaps even with this government shutdown, who knows, but allow yourself plenty of time. And finally, last item for the news for today, public tours of the White House are going to resume the first part of next year. December the 2nd, actually. Of course, you won't be able to tour the East Wing because it doesn't exist anymore. But the First Lady has decorated the White House. She is big on decorations, and you will be able to see some of those decorations. You can go to the White House website to try to get reservations. Tours are going to resume on December the 2nd, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Later on in the program, we're going to do the mailbag, and all the questions in the mailbag come pretty much directly from our website, right there on the homepage where it says if you got a comment or a question, that's where you can leave it. We'll try to cover them on the air. Those we can't get to on the air, Mark will answer them by way of email. So it's a great resource. TravelGuysRadio.com. Speaking of, resources and so forth, you can also get the Travel Guys podcasts there at TravelGuysRadio.com. And thanks to our friends at Sactown Sports 1140, you can get our podcasts on their website as well. So check it out if you happen to miss a program. Want to remind you that here we are. It's almost Thanksgiving time, and around the corner from that will be Christmas. And if you have a business or a large family and you thought about catering, we want you to think Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. They have a catering department that can serve up to anything from hamburgers and hot dogs to, well, I wouldn't know why you'd do that if you could have filet mignon and lobster. The great taste of Rudy's can show up right at your doorstep, or better yet, why not have a gourmet truck come to your business or your local park? They have Rudy's on the Roll, great-looking food truck that serves the best of everything. Their food truck specializes in lobster rolls and their filet mignon tacos. And if you hop into Rudy's for dinner, be sure to ask about the Travel Guy special. It's not free, but it is really cheap.
Wait. We need to go back here for a second.
What?
Filet mignon tacos?
Yes, sir.
Ooh. Now you're talking my game here. I mean, I'm fond of the clam chowder at Rudy's, and I love the halibut, and the food at Rudy's Rudy's is a throwback to the old days when there was really good service and people really fussed over you in restaurants and stuff like that. Filet mignon tacos?
Absolutely. In fact, they have them on the truck, and they also serve them a lot of times around happy hour, okay? So sometime after after two or three.
That would ask
for them.
That would make me happy. Probably make my staff happy too, especially if I left at 2 o'clock. I better shut up here, or we'll never get to the Smarter Traveler segment.
Yeah, filet mignon tacos. Ask for them anyway. The Travel Guy Special 6 ounce lobster tail for $29.95. You can't beat it. Once again, Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Happy to be part of the Sactown Sports 1140 Saturday morning radio programs following the card show. Do you ever listen to the card show? The card show
I do.
Is really good.
I never listened to it before a couple weeks ago, but now because it leads into our program, I've started listening to it again. Cards were kind of a unique thing. You know, a quarter of a century ago, cards became really popular, and then people figured out that cards could be duplicated really easily, and that was not a good thing. And cards seem to be making a comeback now. So listening to the guys talking and stuff like that, it's like I'm a coin collector, so it's the same thing. You know, if you collect things like that, why pretty cards, pretty coins, you know, people collect different things. So it's nowadays, of course, there are an awful lot of upscale cards and limited edition cards and things like that that you can collect. Okay.
Do you think baseball cards, do they still come with this bubblegum and smell like bubblegum?
No, which is really a crime, you know, because kids now don't get a chance to taste what arguably was the worst tasting gum. And once it had been in the pack for a while, it got hard and would break into pieces. And yeah, it was the worst gum. I mean, the worst gum ever. Anyways,
we digress.
Back on topic here before we get to the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about things that passengers do on airplanes that flight attendants would wish you would not do. So you're like, well, what could that possibly be? Well, listen to a few items on the list here, and then we're going to get the list posted later today at travelguysradio.com so that you can take a look at it. But the first one is kind of interesting because I heard it. I have a story to go with it. The first thing that drives flight attendants crazy is if you offer to help lift someone's heavy bag and put it into the overhead. So you're thinking, well, gee, that seems like a very courteous, common thing to do. Well, first of all, remember, if you lift it up there for them, somebody's going to have to take it down, because the person who couldn't lift it up there will not be able to take it down, whether they're too short or too small or whatever. The other thing is flight attendants have an old saying that I heard many years ago, and it goes like this: you pack it, you rack it. So if you packed it and you brought it on the airplane, then you should be able to handle the bag. If not, then you should have checked it. Of course, these days, checking the bag round trip is going to cost you $70 or $80, so people have an incentive not to check the bag. But anyway, that's just how flight attendants feel. And when people jump up and say, here, let me help you with that, all it does is tell that person the next time they can bring that heavy bag on the plane because somebody will help them with it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get help with it, then they look at the flight attendant. And flight attendants, many have incurred injuries over the years because they're trying to lift bags that are too heavy. And think about it, if you had 4 or 5 flights a day and you're having to help people with these things, some flight attendants still do it, particularly the male flight attendants. But I understand why they don't and why they would not like you to do that. Touching the flight attendant to get their attention is considered very bad form. You know, they're in the aisle and they're doing something, they've gone past you or something, and you reach up because you want something. Touching the flight attendant is considered to be way, way, way out of line, as is handing trash to the attendant. You know, they're walking down the aisle with a trash bag. That's the time to give them your trash. They're walking down the aisle because they had to go back up to the front to get something for the service cart, and now you're wanting to give their trash. They've got nowhere to put it. So that's kind of irritating. So hang on to your trash until you see the trash bag coming around. Grabbing things from the food and beverage cart, no matter if it's just a sugar packet for your coffee or something like that, is really off limits. Really off limits. Calling a flight attendant sweetie or darling or something like that is so out of date, it's not even really worth discussing. But yes, sir.
How about stewardess?
Yes. I'm sure that would probably fit. It might not be as infuriating.
There are still people that don't. Yeah, but there's still a lot of people that never made the transition.
No, that's very true.
Especially if they're over 60 or whatever, 70.
Yeah, don't fly very often. Stewardess, yes. It's flight attendant these days. Remind me not to sit across from you on the plane. Don't stand in the galley and chat. You know, you go up, you use the restroom, and you see these people, especially up in the front of the plane. They feel like, you know, the flight attendant's there, so they'll have a conversation. Most of the time, the flight attendant would really, truly rather not be bothered. The other thing really not to do is give an extended goodbye to the crew at the end of the flight. You know, you're going up the aisle there. Remember, there might be somebody in the last row who has a 35-minute connection in Denver, and they're desperate to get off the airplane. So that extra 15 seconds that you spent with the flight attendant telling them, you know, oh, don't worry about what spilled, or wasn't that a funny thing that happened, or whatever. If everybody did that, nobody would ever get off the damn plane. So that's why they all say, bye, bye, thank you. Just make it brief, smile, do something like that, but don't get into an extended conversation at the end of the flight. And that is a few things off of the list. There are more. But that's a few things that the flight attendants would rather that you not do on the plane, even though they might seem to be fairly innocuous.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell the listeners of Sactown Sports this probably, but today is the seventh game of the World Series. I hate the Dodgers, so you don't ask me who I'm rooting for. I'm the biggest Canadian fan on the planet today. My company, Sports Leisure Vacations, has been taking people to see Giants games in San Francisco for almost 50 years. And next year is kind of a special year. The New York Yankees are going to open the season against the Giants in San Francisco. Sports Leisure Vacations will have a special overnight trip for the Friday and Saturday games. Spend the night in the city, get to see the Giants and the Yankees on opening day weekend. The details for that will be available sometime later this month when the scheduled game times are announced. But you can give us a call at 916-361-2051 and put your name on the wait list for the Giants and Yankees overnighter, which will kick off the 2026 season. Go Blue Jays.
Wow. Hey, Mark, I have to ask, you mentioned that it's an overnighter. Do you do two games, or you?
Yes. Yes, go down and see a game. The Friday game, I'm guessing, will probably be a night game. If the Saturday game holds the form, it'll be a 4 o'clock start. But sometimes early in the season, those are not network games, so it could be a 1 o'clock start. But anyway, it'll be an overnight in San Francisco, and we haven't chosen the hotel yet. Maybe the Hyatt Regency downtown had the best bid so far. But anyway, it will be a fun way to kick off the baseball season. Aaron Judge and the Yankees in town to play the Giants in March, no less. If this were any place besides San Francisco, I'd be really worried about the weather in March, but not so much in San Francisco.
Okay, folks, as I alluded to before the break, next weekend on the Travel Guys, next Saturday, specifically at about 11:30, it's going to be the back half of next week's show. Our special guest, none other than the G-Man, Gary Gerald, will be joining us for close to a half an hour conversation, which will include some travel tips and some fun information in regards to his experiences on the road. As you might guess, being a play-by-play guy for the Kings, like forever, has had a lot of experience with that, and not to mention some personal information in regards to how he got into his business and how he became the voice of the Sacramento Kings. Mark and I are both huge Gary Gerald fans. We've known him for 40, 50 years.
Yeah, long time.
I think you'll really enjoy this.
And you know,
Mark?
There is time. And if you, those of you who listen to this station regularly, if you haven't had the opportunity ever to meet Gary in person, he is arguably, if you asked me, I've been on the planet for a while. If you asked me who the nicest people were that I've met in my entire life, he would absolutely be at the top of the list. He is such a gentleman and such an incredibly nice man that the opportunity to sit down and talk to him about his travel. You know, we're the travel guys. Well, heck, we couldn't hold a candle to him. because he travels all over the place all the time. He's not doing network stuff anymore, but just the Kings games. But the chance to ask him, you know, what's the best restaurant? What's the best hotel that you stay in? What's the catastrophe? And, you know, how did you get to be the broadcaster of the Kings? In 1985, if you are less than 40 years old, he started broadcasting for the Kings before you were on the planet. So anyways, a great, great opportunity to learn a lot about truly one of Sacramento's finest citizens, Gary Gerald, next week here with the Travel Guys. All right, let's talk a little bit about the TSA situation here, if we could, for a few minutes. I think it's pretty widely publicized that, you know, government workers are not working, except for a few who are working and not getting paid, who will hypothetically get all their money when this is all over with. Nobody knows when that might be. We're now into the second month. If you're an air traffic controller or a TSA employee, I'm going to suggest this might be a little different. My dad was an air traffic controller. They make more than TSA people do, quite a bit more. Whether that allows you, you know, people tend to live in whatever, you know, wage bracket that they're in. So no matter how much money you make or don't make, when the money stops coming, it's a problem. So I'm sure it's a problem for everyone. But next time you go to the airport, look at the TSA folks. Just take a look while you're standing in line there for a minute and just tell me that they don't look like regular everyday people. They have the same challenges that we have. They have to pay their rent, and they have to get the kids to childcare and get to work. And, you know, maybe they're picking up an extra shift or whatever that might amount to. These are not people who make a king's ransom, and probably many of them live paycheck to paycheck. And the paycheck didn't come last week. And if those people don't come to work, if 20% of them didn't come to work tomorrow morning at the Sacramento airport, it would be chaos. Ditto for any other major airport and kind of, probably for any other small airport, too. I mean, TSA doesn't have a lot of extra people standing around waiting for you to get there. So that would tend to tell me that if you take a few people out of the mix, things are going to get a little bit tighter. So imagine this just for a moment. Imagine that, you know, you're a 47-year-old woman and you've got a couple of kids at home and your husband works. He doesn't make a king's ransom for a wage. And your TSA check doesn't come. Now you can't pay the rent. You can't pay child care. There's all sorts of things that you may not be able to take care of that are day-to-day stuff. So now you've got all that stuff on your brain. And what you could do is you could start driving for DoorDash or something in the meantime and at least pick up some cash until TSA resumes. But that, of course, means that you might not then be at your job at TSA, which would create a huge problem for the rest of us. So this is not a good situation, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to start to break down around the country before too long. I can't. It's unbelievable that it's held together this long. When we had Sid and Dale on from TSA in Sacramento talking with us about this a few weeks ago, they said they were already taking steps to try to provide resources to their staff about, you know, or try to provide them letters that would explain to people why they can't pay their rent on time, or, you know, these people are going to get paid. The money will come at some point. It's just an icky situation. And I have a couple of suggestions that you might be able to do. You cannot change the situation. You can take off your clothes and run naked in front of the airport tomorrow morning and it won't open the government. So it might get you arrested or get you a few laughs, but it won't open the government.
That's not one of your suggestions, then.
It's not one of my suggestions, oh, okay. No. I have two of them. One is don't make your tough morning their tough morning. So allow plenty of time. You don't know when this is going to happen. It might be tomorrow morning. It might not ever happen in Sacramento. They might settle this whole thing in a couple of days and we'll all walk away from it. But if you're a person who we always are telling folks, allow plenty of time at the airport. But right now, really, truly allow plenty of time at the airport. And the other thing is you could say thank you. As you went through TSA and you interacted with somebody there for a second or two or seven, you could just look them right in the eye and say thank you. You know, thank you for working today. Thanks for coming here so that I could make my trip back to see my sick grandma or, you know, my kid in college, or as the holidays get closer, all of the things that people do that travel for the holidays. If not even everybody, if 5%, 1 out of 20 of the people going through the TSA line said thank you for working, imagine the difference that would make. I mean, these folks are out there. They're really doing a public service at this point. So if you acknowledge that, and again, you know, don't give a speech because you'll hold up the line, and we just talked about that. So, but if you just looked at them and said thank you, I think that that would make a huge difference. And I, this is a little radio show that reaches 5,000-6,000 people on a Saturday morning, so we're not going to change the world. But just think about it. If you're flying during all of this mess, the people who are helping you get where you can't go and say thank you to the air traffic controllers because they're not accessible to you. But you can say thank you to the TSA people, and you can make sure that anything that is stress in your life doesn't become stress in their life because they've already got plenty of it going on. So anyway, those are my ideas. A thank you right now might be a really well-placed comment.
The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com, where the following questions in the Travel Guys mailbag pretty much came from. So visit it if you got a question you want to leave there. But either way, if you go, you'll go away a smarter traveler. Mark, are you ready to get to work?
I am. Fire away.
All right, here we go. All right, we're starting off. Louise, a couple of weeks ago, says that we talked here on the Travel Guys about travel insurance. It's, you said something about who you should buy insurance from. Would you repeat that piece of wisdom, please?
In most cases, people who sell you travel will try to sell you travel insurance. For big major companies, Globus, Cosmos, Top Tours, large cruise lines and the like, that insurance that they're selling you has been specifically designed to protect them. So not to protect you, but to protect them first. And may have clauses and things that make it a little more difficult for you to get refunds. Now, I'm not saying that this is the case. I'm saying it's possibly the case. If you were making a deal with an insurance company and you were a cruise line, you would want the insurance company to protect you. That would be a normal business relationship. So I'm going to suggest to you that, for example, at Sports Leisure Vacations, when we sell international tours, which tend to be the most pricey, we sell third-party insurance from a private travel insurance company. And while we do make a small commission off of it, we have nothing, we have no role to play in whether or not you get your refund, other than maybe perhaps to advocate for you if you needed our help. So we have no interest in whether or not the insurance company, how many claims they pay or whether or not they pay them. So if you are buying travel insurance, take a hard look at buying it. You know, the airline thing pops up and it says, hey, for $18, you can insure your trip. Well, before you just click there, you might want to just check and see what that covers. So that was my comment was don't necessarily buy travel insurance from the company selling you the travel product. In some cases, we use Aon, I think is the company that we use for. There are lots of independent companies that will sell you insurance that are not necessarily designed to protect the supplier, if that makes sense.
Okay, Todd says that he has a Sports Leisure Vacations question.
Okay.
He says, I know that companies make trips to, your company makes trips to Giants games in San Francisco, but do you do 49ers trips, or do you know somebody who does? He says, it seems like a total no-brainer, Mark.
It is. Thanks for the question, Todd. Yes, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Sports Leisure's been taking people to Giants games for a long, long, long time. It's how our company started. We used to do a 49er trip or two every year, and this was back in the days when the 49ers played at Candlestick, and the seats were not quite as in demand. Those of you who are older 49er fans will remember that they had quite the dry spell before and after the turn of the century, where they weren't really a very good team at all. In fact, I can remember 49er players in the offseason creating a traveling basketball team that played around the Central Valley and stuff like that. And heck, I don't, seems like the guys got like $1,000 or $2,000 to show up for a game, and there were eight of them. So how much money could they have been making? I'm going to suggest that doesn't sort of situation doesn't exist now. We can't get tickets to 49er games. The Giants are happy to sell us 42 seats in an upgraded section that's in the shade on the second level with semi-private concession stands and the like. We love it there. With the 49ers, there is nothing like that available. And at my company, we pride ourselves in trying to, when we take people someplace, whether it's a day trip or a long trip, we want to do something that's, offer you something that's maybe a little bit better than you could have done on your own or that other people are offering you. And with the 49ers, it's just not possible. The only thing we could do would be to buy a suite, and you don't even want to know how much that would cost per person for a ball game, several hundred dollars. So that our company does not do it. There is nobody who does it. You can buy packages to 49er away games from companies that will provide you tickets. So it's actually, in some cases, a little bit easier to do a road game than it is a home game. You can buy them on the secondary market. But no, there's nobody who offers day trips to San Francisco 49er games that I'm aware of.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Our website is travelguysradio.com, where we got these questions in our mailbag. Melissa asks us to help resolve a disagreement between her and her mother. Mom says planes will keep flying despite the government shutdown. I say they won't. Who's right, Mark?
Well, technically, both of you are right, because the planes will keep flying. If we, as we talked about before, if the TSA people don't show up and people can't get security checked, or the people in the tower don't show up and the planes can't take off and land, then that's going to cause a bit of a problem. Planes wouldn't fly. I'm going to suggest to you that if that happened, it would only be for a very, very, very short period of time, hours or a couple of days, and somebody on one side of the political spectrum would cave, and things would be resolved. So Mom's right. The planes are going to keep flying. You're right. There's maybe a point at which they don't. But if that happens, it will be very short-lived. I'm certain of it.
LaDonna says, I applied for a passport 2 weeks ago. Paid for the faster service. My travel to Italy starts on November the 15th. Will I have my passport by then? Or does the government shutdown mean that I won't get my passport until after the government opens up again?
Wow. I saw this question and I thought I laughed a little bit because I just went through the same situation. Lost my passport, had to get a new one, started the whole process the next to the last week of October, sent them an old picture. And they said, hey, you know, this isn't a current picture, so you got to send us a new one. So I had to get a new picture and FedEx it and all that. Bottom line was my passport showed up Thursday. So it was all of about 15 days, and it would have gotten here quicker, but I screwed it up. So the answer to your question, LaDonna, is that the passport people are still working, and my own personal, very recent experience tells me that your passport will likely show up. I had also asked for the expedited service, so that probably wasn't a bad move. There is an emergency escape hatch. If you go to the U.S. Passport's website, they will tell you if you're traveling within 2 weeks. And now today is, if you say you're traveling on the 15th, is exactly 2 weeks. If your passport doesn't show up Monday or maybe Tuesday, go to that website. There's a number you can call. You have to go to San Francisco, but you can get a passport in a day or in an overnight situation at worst. So there is an emergency escape hatch there. But based on my recent experience, I think that if you applied 2 weeks ago, your passport is going to show up in the next few days. Also, there is a tracking number they give you that where you can see where your passport is in the process. So you can, if you go back to their original confirmation they sent you, there's a confirmation number there that will allow you to find out perhaps how many days it is before your passport is going to arrive.
All right. We're the Travel Guys. This is the Travel Guys mailbag. And our next question comes from Adam. If the gate agent tells you that you have to check your carry-on, but it easily fits into the bag size at the gate, who wins?
The gate agent wins every single time. So arguing with a gate agent is going to get you nowhere. It'll piss everybody in line behind you off. You probably won't win. So just if listen, people are taking carry-ons on the plane that are ridiculous, and it's likely the person ahead of you got on with something that's twice the size it's supposed to be, and you just got nailed. I don't know why. One of the airlines is American's taking away the bag sizers. I don't know what's behind that. But anyway, if the gate agent tells you to do something or the flight attendant tells you to do something on or off the airplane, you best follow what they say. Otherwise, you're probably not going anywhere.
Good advice. Okay. Richter says, I've had two different travel accounts hacked on my computer in the past couple of weeks. Didn't lose anything, but someone out there knows my travel schedule for the next 6 months, my frequent flyer number and other things as well. A friend of mine who works in a computer security told me, just be lengthening your password numbers or letters will increase protection dramatically, increase the number of digits that you have on your passwords. He says, I know you are the travel guys, but do you know anything about this? What else should I do to protect myself?
Well, he's right. I did some homework on this, saw this question, Tom, and I did some homework. It is true. Lengthening the most places want you to have an 8-digit or an 8-character password. If you make that password 12 digits instead of 8, a computer can figure out an 8-digit password in an average of 14 hours, according to my sources. It would take them the same computer 180 days to figure out a password for a 12-digit. So if they're right, having a lengthier password protects you much better in situations. When I got done with this conversation Thursday, I went back and changed a bunch of my passwords. So that's one piece of wisdom I can give you. Go back, definitely let the airline or wherever else you were hacked know what has happened to you. They will go back and change. You want to change your account number, obviously, of course, your password and stuff, but they'll change your account number. They'll also put a flag up so that, at least I know United Airlines does this, so that if somebody tries to get into your account, they will know. So if definitely your Rector, your wisdom about lengthening the password is absolutely good wisdom, according to my sources. The longer your password, the harder it is for it to be compromised.
We're down to the last couple of minutes. Let's see how many more we can get in. Let's go to, according to Michelle, MapQuest shows the Amtrak station in Sacramento being at 4th and I Street. Is there a station there? Parking? Place to wait indoors?
Yeah, it's the old Union Pacific. We have one of the great train stations in the country. Yes, it's an indoor station. It's the 13th busiest train station in the United States because we have short trains and longer trains and stuff like that. It's a beautiful building. Yes, it's there. Yes, there is parking. You have to pay for it. But it's truly one of the best buildings in all of Sacramento. So, yes, there is plenty of facilities there at Amtrak.
All right. You're going to have to make this one quick. Where's the best place in Sacramento to buy luggage? Max needs to know.
Oh, I saw that. I don't know. I'll find out next week. Used to be Holloway Travel Outfitters, but John left us out of business a number of years ago. So hopefully I'll try to find out by next week. If you have bought luggage somewhere in Sacramento and are happy with where you bought it, send a note to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll give them a plug next week.
Okay, we're at the end of today's Travel Guys radio program, Mark. Once again, reminding folks, Gary Gerald joins us next week here on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, Mark, that's going to be really cool. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock here on the Travel Guys.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week.